Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story. Dreams are a great mystery of the human mind. Many people believe that they give us a glimpse into our true selves. Some even believe they can foretell the future. Every once in a while, you find yourself in one that seems so real. You can't tell it's a dream. Which begs the question, what if what you think of as real life is really the dream? Dreams of her. I dreamed about her again, Will said as he sat in the overstuffed chair opposite his therapist.
The woman who needs your help?
Yeah. The psychologist scribbled something on his pad as he continued.
And did you?
Did I what?
Did you help her?
Will shook his head. I don't know how. Mostly I just listened to her. The psychologist nodded, as if Will's answer had some deep meaning. Is this something I should be worried about? Will asked.
Only you can answer that question. Dreams are our subconscious mind trying to communicate with our conscious one, but they can't be taken literally. The woman in your dream could represent something else in your life.
Like what?
Oh, perhaps there's something in your past that you've left unresolved. A relationship, a job, or something as simple as passing a homeless man on the street without giving him a second look.
Will tried to think if he could remember anything like that.
The next time you dream about her, write it down. Keep a pad and pen by your bed. Maybe that will help you discover what's really bothering you.
The psychologist looked at his watch.
Well, time's up. I'll see you next week.
What was she wearing?
Aaron asked, while chewing on a mouthful of his sandwich.
Will shook his head.
It wasn't that kind of dream.
It could be. I say when you're dreaming and you realize it's a dream, you can actually control it. You should ask her out.
You do realize she's just a figment of my imagination.
I mean in the dream. Maybe she'll invite you back to her place.
He took another bite of his ham and cheese while he wiggled his eyebrows suggestively. I'm trying to figure out what she means, not nail her.
Who says you can't do both?
Will rolled his eyes. I tried to write down what she was telling me, but I only got a few fragments before it left my head.
What did she say?
Aaron asked, switching to slurping his soda through a straw. Something about her boyfriend, I think.
Aaron laughed, almost choking on his drink.
Only you would dream about a girl who already has a boyfriend.
My therapist thinks she represents something unresolved in my life.
Are you sure she's not someone you actually know?
No, if she is, I don't recognize her.
Aaron pushed his sandwich aside to lean closer to Will.
What if she's from a different dimension?
What?
A parallel universe. She could be an actual person in an alternate reality, and somehow, while you're asleep, your minds connect.
That's absurd.
Aaron shrugged.
Hey, makes more sense than anything your therapist is telling you.
He took another bite of his sandwich.
Then, with his mouth full, added,
Maybe she's an alien, and just shows up in your dreams as a human, so you won't be afraid of her. Or him. Or it.
She's not an alien, Aaron, Will insisted.
How can you be so sure?
I don't know, I just am.
Well, you can always try asking her.
You think that would work?
You won't know unless you try.
Will lay in bed fighting fatigue. He was repeating over and over to himself, Ask her who she is. Ask her who she is. Hoping to program his subconscious mind to reveal the answer, or at least give him a clue what she represented. After a mouth-stretching yawn, he
he finally felt himself slip into sleep. The woman sat in a chair, looking at Will. Her eyes expressed a mixture of compassion and worry. He wondered if either emotion was directed at him. He wanted to speak to her. He wanted to ask her all the questions he had, but he couldn't seem to remember what they were. "Sometimes I envy you," she said. "Why?" Will tried to ask, but the question remained unvoiced. "I wish my life was as simple as yours." The words sounded familiar, as if it was something she had said before. "I'm sure you'd rather hear something other than me going on about my problems," she said. Will wondered if she thought he was a therapist. "Maybe instead of complaining about my home life, I should just read to you. Would you like that? I mean, it's not like there's anything you can do to help me." She touched the side of her face where there appeared to be a bruise. "No, tell me who you are. What do you want from me?" he thought silently. Why couldn't he speak? It was his dream. According to Aaron, once he was aware he was dreaming, he should be able to control it. Take it in a direction he wanted it to go. "Who are you?" he asked, but again, only in his head. "What was that?" the woman asked. "Are you trying to respond? Can you hear me?" "Yes," Will thought. He tried to reach out to her, but in the dream, he not only was mute, but apparently paralyzed as well. "I'll be right back," she said excitedly, then left. Will panicked. He knew that when you dreamed, your body imposed a type of temporary paralysis, so that you didn't thrash around. Of course, some people sleepwalked, but he'd never not been able to move in the dream itself. He woke up. At first, he thought he was still paralyzed, but then he lifted his hand in front of his face and flexed his fingers. He sat up, drenched in sweat. There was something he wanted to do, something he needed to do. What was it? He looked around the dark room, then his eyes rested on the pad and pen on his night table. Will grabbed them and started scribbling everything he could remember. A psychologist read the entries in Will's dream journal, nodding and pursing his lips as he flipped through the pages. "What do you think?" Will asked.
"It's difficult for me to say. As I've told you before, the answers are in your subconscious. Sometimes there are archetypes in dreams that have specific cultural meanings, but there's nothing here. Just a woman in a chair telling you about her day."
"What about when she talks about her boyfriend? I think he's hurting her."
"Does she use the word boyfriend?" the psychologist asked, flipping through the journal. "Does she mention any violence?"
Will couldn't remember. "I don't know. I just got the impression that she was living with someone she was afraid of."
"Could be a form of transference. You're projecting your own fears of commitment onto this avatar in your dreams."
"I don't have a girlfriend."
"Was there ever anyone you were particularly close to? Perhaps engaged? A relationship that ended badly?"
Will shook his head. "I've never lived with anyone," he said.
"Well, keep at it," the psychologist urged, handing the journal back to Will. "Eventually there will be something that reveals the nature of whatever conflict your subconscious is trying to resolve."
Will took the pad and tucked it back into his bag. He paused as he worked up the courage to ask what he considered a ridiculous question. But what did he have to lose? "Do you think it might be a real person I'm dreaming of?"
"I thought you said you didn't recognize her."
"No, I mean, somehow she's communicating with me while I'm dreaming." The psychologist seemed skeptical. "Maybe someone in a parallel universe?"
The psychologist didn't laugh out loud like Will expected. "Interesting theory."
"You think that's possible?" he asked.
"No, not likely. But you thinking it's a possibility could mean something."
Great. Now his therapist thought he was crazy.
"It doesn't mean you're crazy," the psychologist said, as if answering Will's unspoken question. "But perhaps that line of thinking will spark something else."
Aaron and Will sat at a picnic table outside their office building. It was a warm, sunny day, and Will enjoyed watching the ducks and geese and occasional egret visit the adjacent pond.
"Could be a demon," Aaron suggested. "A spirit from the underworld tempting you, trying to get you to allow it to possess you."
"Do you stay awake all night thinking of these crazy theories?" Will asked.
"No, they just come to me."
"She's not a demon," Will insisted.
"Okay, okay, just an idea."
He tossed a crust of bread into the water. A family of ducks started paddling rapidly toward it.
"I wonder if she dreams of you."
"What?"
"Well, if she is a real person, maybe she's dreaming when you are, and that's how you're able to connect."
"Huh." The idea actually made a sort of sense. Aaron chuckled to himself.
"Maybe you're her dream, and we're all just figments of her imagination. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, how could we tell? It's like simulation theory, but instead of being inside some supercomputer, we're inside your girlfriend's head."
"She's not my girlfriend."
"Right. She's already spoken for." Will sighed, trying to remember why he was even friends with Aaron. Just because they worked together? Was there really no one else he could hang out with on the job? Aaron tossed the rest of the bread crusts he had saved from his sandwich at the ducks, who frantically dove beneath the surface to gobble them up.
"I'm sorry I'm late," the woman from Will's dream said as she sat down in her chair.
Late? Late for what? She wasn't looking at him, and her hair, which she normally wore in a ponytail, hung loosely over her face.
"Are you all right?" he asked silently. She turned toward him.
He could see that her right eye was darkened by a bruise and ineffectively covered with makeup.
"I don't know what to do. If I leave him, he'll just take it out on the girl. If I try to take her, he'll kill us both."
"Girl? What girl?"
Will struggled to remember what she had told him before. Fragments of memories danced within reach. Had she mentioned a girl before?
"Where is she?"
he asked, desperately trying to make himself heard.
"I really shouldn't bother you with my problems. Look, I brought my book," she said, pulling a paperback from her bag.
"No," he begged. "Let me help you."
But she couldn't read his mind. She was as deaf to him as if they were worlds apart.
And maybe they were.
Or was Aaron right?
And Will was just a hallucination she was having. She started reading.
"Help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me," she said, as if she was reading the opening paragraph of the story, but substituting those two words for what was actually written there. "Help me, help me, help me."
Will woke up. "Interesting notion," the psychologist said. Will had just told him about Aaron's silly idea of being characters in the woman's dream. "Of course, there's an easy way to tell."
"What's that?"
"Well, you know how dreams work. They don't have clear-cut beginnings and endings. You just find yourself in a situation. Studying for a test for a class you haven't been to all semester, even though you haven't been in school for years. Finding yourself in public without any pants on. Driving down an impossible road without any brakes. There aren't any transitions like there are in real life. You just find yourself in one place and then the next."
Will thought about what the psychologist was saying.
Then he tried to remember how he had gotten to this office.
The last thing he remembered was waking up from his most recent dream.
"Do you see what I mean?" the psychologist asked.
He tried to remember what his job was, where he lived, but it was all a fog.
"You are in a dream, but it's not her dream. It's yours."
"What are you talking about?
I'm not dreaming," Will insisted. He stood up.
The room was different now, no longer an office. It was white and sterile. He could hear beeping,
a tempo that was gradually getting faster.
The psychologist was gone. He looked up at the ceiling. There was a blinding light shining down on him. He squeezed his eyes shut and turned away. When he opened them again, he saw that he was lying in a bed with railings on it, and on the railing there was a sort of panel with buttons. One of them said, "Call." He pressed it with a weak, trembling finger. A few moments later, he heard footsteps running toward him. He looked toward the sound of their approach, and a young man appeared in a doorway. It was Aaron, dressed in green scrubs, like a nurse would wear. "Mr. Kelly? Mr. Kelly?" he asked. Will groaned. The nurse reached for the phone on the table off to the side of his bed and punched a number. "Page Dr. Forbes, stat!" he shouted. Will tried to speak, but he couldn't. There was something keeping him from talking. A tube, he realized, down his throat, gently filling and evacuating the air from his lungs. A doctor strode into the room, followed by two other nurses. "What's going on, Aaron?" he asked the nurse. "He's awake." The doctor took a penlight from his breast pocket and shined it in each of Will's eyes. "Welcome back, Mr. Kelly." Will pointed at the tube in his mouth. The doctor understood what he meant and nodded. He removed the tape that held it in place, then gently slid it out. Will took in a deep breath of the warm, medicine-scented air of the hospital room, then coughed violently. Aaron filled a cup with water from a pitcher and put a straw in it. He guided the plastic tube to Will's mouth, and he sucked eagerly at it as the cool water soothed his parched tongue. "Okay, that's enough," the nurse said, pulling the straw away. Will tried to sit up. "Relax, Mr. Kelly. You've been in a coma for over 3 months. You need to take it easy." Will glanced past the doctor at an empty chair near his bed. "The woman?" he managed to croak weakly. "Where is the woman who sat there?" The doctor looked at Aaron, confused. "Sarah Billings. She works nights. She likes to talk to the coma patients. But she didn't come in last night. Didn't call in sick, just didn't show up." "She needs help," Will told them. "Call the police. Have them check on her."
"Relax, Mr. Kelly,"
the doctor said. "I'm sure she's just under the weather." "No," Will insisted vehemently. "You have to call the police. You have to help her. She needs my help." His eyes pleaded with the doctor as strongly as his words did. "She's not answering," one of the other nurses reported, holding up her cell phone. The faint sound of ringing came from the speaker. Dr. Forbes turned toward the first nurse. "Wouldn't hurt to call for a wellness check, I guess." Aaron nodded, then left the room to return to the nurse's station. The doctor offered Will another drink. "I'm sure she's fine, Mr. Kelly. And I guess she's right that you coma patients do know some of what's going on around you. Fascinating. I'm going to give you a little sedative so you can get some rest." He signaled to one of the other nurses, who pumped the contents of a syringe into his IV. Will tried to stay awake to find out what had happened to the woman, but his eyelids became heavy and he fell asleep. Whatever he dreamed of, it wasn't the woman. Will woke the next morning to the sound of her voice. "Good morning," she said. He turned and saw the woman from his dreams, sitting in a wheelchair next to his bed. "I understand I have you to thank for saving my life. The police hadn't come when they did. I'd be dead. Thank you." Will nodded. "How did you know?" she asked. Will shrugged. The woman smiled. "I always had a feeling you were listening. You know, I could have sworn while I was knocked out that I had a dream about you. But people don't dream when they're unconscious. Just a quirk of my memory, I suppose." Will smiled. "You were reading me a book." The woman grinned. "Yes, yes, I was." She pulled a paperback from the side pocket of her wheelchair. "Would you like me to continue?" "Start from the beginning," Will said. "I think I missed the first part."
Thank you for listening to Dreams of Her, written especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs fiction podcast by Rich Hosek. Please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Rate us on Apple, Spotify, and Audible.
and share these stories, as well as the unabridged audiobook versions of my novels, with anyone you know who enjoys audio fiction. Be sure to visit bedtimestories.studio, where you can sign up for our Insomniacs Snooze Letter to be notified of new episodes and exclusive offers, and get a free bookmark. You can visit richhosick.com to learn more about the host of Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs. Thanks again, and all the very best.